them pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA Takes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
What's up? Do not adjust your TV sets if you're watching us on fucking YouTubes. I got a jean jacket on, okay? Reason being, a little cold in here. And also, I'm wearing a white t-shirt, a little self-conscious, okay? Your boy doesn't wear white, but it's Chrissy Curtis. It's the Action Man. So I got to support my guy. So that's why I'm looking so cool. Hair's looking like Cool Car Johnny. What's up with the what's up? So real quick, on the top here, recording on a Tuesday. Typically, your boy records on a Wednesday, Thursday. Edits it, gets it out on Thursday. Recording it this on a Tuesday. So there's not going to be a lot of prop talk. I don't have a green hammer. I'm going to give you the slime ball, give me my locks. But and I know I'll fight fell off, and they haven't replaced some yet, so that might be a pick I don't get. But no prop talk, unfortunately, because the props aren't out. I mean, there's a couple over-unders maybe we'll discuss. I'll still give you my lean on how I think the fight's going to end and shit like that. But unfortunately, we do not have it's early in the week. And the reason being is my wonderful grandfather-in-law, I guess you can call that, my wife's grandfather, passed away on Friday. He's been battling a sickness for a while. Tough son of a bitch. Just miserable. Just fucking. For the past year and a half, he hasn't been himself. But he was a wonderful, wonderful person. And I know it's so cliche to say, at least, you know, he's not suffering anymore. But it's true, because he was not. He was being fucking miserable. You know, that's not how we want to live. So funeral is Thursday. I know everyone's going to give me condolences. I'm going to thank you already, but I need to get this out earlier. But yeah. Just one. This show's dedicated to Mel, old Melvin, Grandpa Mel, Pop Mel. Great guy. When I first met him, you know, always welcomed me. When I first met him, you know, he was very welcoming to me. He sings. He likes to sing his little songs I've never even heard of. Just little jingles. Blows on a harmonica. The guy's phenomenal. He makes mashed potatoes that'll blow your dick off, and he'll tell you about every single potato he peeled. He'll let you know about everyone that he peeled. And then my camera went blurry. Boop, boop, boop. Mel, is that you? I'm talking about you, Mel. But and then, you know, you would sit next to him. And as a guy that's a story repeater, and I'm really trying to get better at repeating my stories, you would sit next to Mel. And, you know, for the, 11 years I've been with my wife now, I've heard these stories 50 times. But you never tell him that, Mel, I've heard this one. You never say it, because he's so goddamn charming and he's adorable when he does it, and he's a good storyteller. So you just sit there and you let him tell a story. He will be greatly missed. Looking forward to celebrating his life on Thursday. And I'm just happy that he's not suffering anymore. So shout out, Mel. This episode's for you. And on a little lighter note, you guys, and when I mean you guys, the listeners, the watchers, whoever, incredible. You guys are incredible. I actually need my phone for this. Need my phone for this one. You guys are simply, simply incredible. Last week, I asked for if anyone out there could put together an outro for me. I had an outro, amazing outro that someone made for me. They disappeared off face of the earth. Don't have a Twitter account, and I went to the DMs, couldn't find them. Anyway. The people that listen to the show are so goddamn talented and so cool. Douglas Appleman reached out to me, DM'd me on Twitter, which I didn't see initially. I'm glad he emailed me. Welcome to an email with a dope song. I'm going to play for you a little bit. But his name is Douglas Appleman. I'm at Douglas Appleman. It's just like it sounds. Douglas Appleman. Nothing tricky there. Everything spelled exactly how you would. His preferred social media is Instagram. I am gonna tag him and post the outro on the Instagram once this is released. But he's an artist. He does his own music. He builds his own music. Sings, plays every fucking instrument. Really good guy. I don't know him. He's from Boston. He's a Boston boy. And then if you go under Spotify and you search under Douglas Appleman, you know, you'll find some of his stuff out there. So he created me an outro, and it's a little funky thing. And I literally just said maybe like two words of what I want, right? Last week on the show, I'm like, yeah, if you can do it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this guy fucking nails it out of the park. So from here on out on the audio side, you're going to be hearing this outro from Douglas Appleman. Shout out Douglas Appleman. and just incredible. So without further ado.
I told Eddie we're 6'3", and Yachty was like blown away. Big gun Brian Petrie, big gun Brian Petrie. Some might refer to him as big gun Brian Petrie. Chief handicapper or chief MMA handicapper, host of the MMA Takes podcast. I'm here to see Brian. Big gun, yeah. PJ got comedy dripping.
All right, here's Brian Petrie bringing the shoe.
Oh, I had a little drippage.
Boys, that's fire. That is fire. I have some talented people that listen to the show, and Douglas Appleman, go give him a follow again. I'm going to tag him on Instagram once this gets released, but unfucking believable. What a goddamn stud. That's amazing. I want to play it again and again and again. I mean, you'll hear it at the end of the show, but man, banger alert. All right, let's get to some fights here, baby. First fight of the night is going to be, actually, I got to update all this shit because we got to fight that pulled out, but it's going to be Nora Cornoli. Could it be Cornoli? She is fighting Melissa Mullins. Melissa Mullins, a minus 360 favorite versus Melissa Tanya Mullins, according to Tapology, but Melissa Mullins, minus 360 versus Cornoli, plus 285. Cornoli, it's not how you say her name, but she's French, right? Is he French? Is that French? Or is that, yeah, France? She's from France. She debuted against Jocelyn Edwards and looked pretty good. She's a good striker. That's kind of primarily her background is striking. She's got a couple wins by submission, or she got one win by submission, but she likes to strike. Competition weak, though, right? The competition that she's got is weak. Huge underdog here. Now, my rule of thumb, typically, my system, if you will, the BP system, the big gun system. First fight of night, underdog. First fight of night, female, big underdog. You go underdog. I'm going away from my system. This is a plus 285 currently on a Tuesday, Nora Cornoli. I'm going Melissa Mullins. Melissa Mullins got a lot of heat a little bit right now. People like her coming from out of the UK. You know, she made a UFC debut, won by decision against Irina Askaka. How you ever said the name? But she's got some good wins on her record. I know she's early in her UFC, or excuse me, early. Well, yeah, early in UFC career and early in her MMA career. But I think she's going to ground this fight. I think she's going to take it to the ground, and she's going to look pretty good. She's 32 years old, so she's no spring chicken here, you know, coming in, you know, nicknamed No Mess. She ain't going to leave No Mess, right? I think she's going to get a clean decision win. I like Melissa Mullins in this spot. Hopefully I know chicks. Did I get the chick fight right last week? No, Blanchfield I got. Blanchfield I got wrong, and then the other one got pulled. So your boy still don't know chicks, man. I don't know chicks, but give me Melissa Mullins. I think she's going to get a decision win. But listen, again, the BP system, underdog, female underdog, first fight of the night. You can't go wrong. And it's a fucking almost 3-1 number. You know, you got to like that. All right, next up, Dylan Butka, minus 148 versus Cesar Almeida. Both guys come with the contender series. I am shocked Butka got the fucking contract off the contender series. Very weird fight. He fought a decent guy. But if you look at his record, his only real, I would say, test was against Azmat Bekov. How you saying his name right? He was 16-3, lost a split decision. It was close, but it wasn't anything, you know, I'm like blown away by him or whatever. He's only been in the game since 2022 is when he made his debut. Still raw, still coming. Cesar Almeida, kickboxing experience, 4-0 in MMA. If I'm being honest with you, I don't like his kickboxing's just okay. He clearly has raw power. He clearly has like some dynamite in his hands and legs, but I don't think he's this world-class kickboxer. I see people early on Twitter liking the dog money on Cesar Almeida. I'm going to go with Butka. I think Butka is a more overall, well-rounded guy. I think he's going to bully him. I think he's going to get him to the ground. I think he's tough, durable. He's never been finished, even though he's got two losses. Kind of a low-level fight, in my opinion. You got one guy coming from kickboxing who I don't think is all that great, 4-0 in MMA, and Butka, who I didn't think should get the contract. But it is the second fight of the night. We're in the fucking apex. I mean, this is I guess what you expect, what you want, what we're gonna get. That's it. All right, next up, we got Jean Matsusuto. It's gotta be like Jean Matsusuto. I'm just gonna say Matsusumo. Hold on. Matsumoto is what it is. I'm an idiot. First dark doll. All right, hang on. Let me wash the piss out of my mouth after that. John Masasumoto.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed it. Versus Dan Argueta. Dan Argueta plus 154. Masasumoto is four. He's minus 185, 14-0. I had to look up tape on this guy. Didn't really know him. I didn't remember his contender series fight. But this guy's fought some killers. He's got a lot of good names on his record. A lot of decision wins. He is a grappler. Obviously, in the beginning of his career, he's finished everybody, but he's fighting 0-0s, one-on-ones. Once he started fighting people, it started becoming a decision. He's got one. He's got two submissions in there, mounted guillotine and a guillotine choke. So he's obviously got a nasty guillotine over some pretty good competition. Good grappler. And Dan, you know, this is a guy who I feel like is like an underdog darling, right? You want to play him at plus money all the time. He's scrappy. He's got that big chin. His stand-ups, whatever. His takedown's good. His cardio's good. And you think he's always going to win, right? You know, when he was on the Ultimate Fighter, he was like the favorite to win, right? Didn't win. Didn't even get signed to UFC. Goes to the LFA. Rattles off three wins. And then gets Damon Jackson. Lays an egg. Beats Nick Aguirre. Cool. Cool. Solid win. And then you got Ronnie Lawrence, no contest, premature stoppage. That wasn't his fault. And then no contest on Miles Johns, which I believe that's when Miles got popped, right? I think Miles beat him, and then we're going to win for Johns, yeah, and the Miles pop for some of that hot shit. So this is an interesting fight here. I can see why people like Dan at the plus money. I think it's going to be a close fight. I think we're going over. I think we're going to decision. I'm going to go Masasumoto because I love saying his name, and I say it so fucking good, clearly. I just think he has the better chops in the grappling. I think Dan's going to want to keep the standing, and I really don't think he has the ability to be like this killer on the feet, right? That I think is what you need. He'll be able to maybe stop a few takedowns, but once it hits the ground, I think Masasumoto is just going to take over. I think he's cleaner everywhere. I think everything's better. Dan's more of a wrestler. Masasumoto more of a grappler on the ground. He's smooth. If Dan shoots, because that's in his blood, it's in his blood to fucking pop that double, I think he'll get his neck taken. So there could be a submission prop on the other side of Masasumoto, but I don't see it. I think it being going to decision. I think it's going to be close. I like the over, and I like Masasumoto there. And I'm going to stop saying his name because it's probably torture. Next up, Pierre Rodriguez, minus 155 versus old Cynthia Calvillo, plus 130. So Pierre Rodriguez, you know, I looked her up. I remember she's been in the UFC for a little bit, coming off the Contender Series. She has a win over Valencia Machado, decision win on the Contender Series. Then Kay Hansen, no longer the promotion. And then Sam Hughes, all both by decision. And then the Jillian Robertson fight, where she lost by armbar. Pierre Rodriguez likes to push the fight, likes to get the fight to the ground. When Cynthia Calvillo came into the UFC, she was a wrestler. She was a grappler. You didn't take her down. She took you down. And if you look at Pierre Rodriguez's last few fights, right? So she took Jillian Robinson down twice and got a fucking arm taken. She took Sam Hughes down five times. She took Kay Hansen down three times, but got taken down two times by Kay Hansen. And then three times she took on the Contender Series. You look at Cynthia Calvillo. She's been in the UFC forever. She has five losses in a row. Five losses in a row. This is the last chance. Right? Last chance for Cynthia Calvillo here to fucking do something. But 77% takedown defense. She fought Lubi Gomez, didn't give up a takedown. Fought Nina Nunes, didn't give up a takedown. Andrew Lee didn't give up a takedown. Jessica Andrade got knocked out, didn't give up a takedown. Caitlin Kamara, Chikagian, didn't give up a takedown. Landed four takedowns over Jessica I with 113 landed significant strikes. That was her best performance. That was a five-round fight. It was a tough fight to watch, if I'm being honest with you. But that was her best performance recently, right? She hasn't been taken down since 2017 by Carla Esparza, who took her down twice. Carla's an elite grappler. I like Calvillo here, you know?
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Okay, this is dog. Not my dog lock. But I do like Calvillo as a dog here. Hopefully we get back to liking chicks. I think she can stuff Rodriguez takedowns, beat her up on the feet. I think she's more well-rounded than Rodriguez. I think Rodriguez is kind of a one-trick pony with low volume, pressure, but low volume. You stop that pressure, you defend some takedowns, you get her tired, you piece her up yourself. However, I can sit here confidently and say it's going to be Cynthia Calvillo, but she's lost five fights in a row. So it's hard to put money up. It's hard to kind of really trust in her. I like the dog. I'm going to dance with the plus money. But I'm not like overly confident about it. I'm not like fucking running and telling people to bet Cynthia Calvillo. You know, I'm a little in a dry spell when it comes to the chick fights, if I'm being honest with you. So give me Calvillo and that'll be the end of it. Good sauce, boss. All right, so the next fight was supposed to be Ali Tong. Is that how you say his name? Versus Victor Hugo. Ali Tong pulled out. They're looking for a replacement, Victor Hugo. I think they'll probably get one. So right now we can't pick that fight. So we're moving on to Big Norm. Norma Dumont, minus 175 versus Jermaine Durandamy, plus 145. Jermaine Durandamy coming back. She retired in 2020, almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. She retired off a fucking win over Julia Pena. Well, what a hell of a way to retire. I mean, Julia Pena's a legit girl. Choked her out, too, which not really Jermaine Durandamy's style. But she's 39, 3.5 years off. She's fought everyone in this division. She's looked pretty good. The only time that she's ever really got fucked up was against Amanda Nunes. And Julia Budd got her back in strike force, I guess. But really, Amanda Nunes is the one that was her bugaboo. Besides that, she's beaten everybody. You know, she knocked out fucking, goddamn. I just had her name in the head and it flipped out. Think of it. Look it up. Can you think of it? 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 Ah, fuck. It's going to be Aspen Ladd. Knocked out Aspen Ladd when Aspen Ladd was like supposed to be it. She knocked her out like really quick. Enter Big Norm. Norma Dumont, who's a physical, thick, and I mean that in the best possible way, fighter in there, doesn't throw a lot of volume, but smothers you with takedowns, smothers you with clinch. Probably not the most exciting fighter in the world, but Jermaine Durandamy has a chance when Big Norm tries to close distance. You can catch her. Megan Anderson, who is built long, kind of like Jermaine Durandamy. Megan's bigger than Jermaine, but Megan knocked out in her UFC debut, knocked out. It's the only chink in Norma's armor, right? She lost a split decision to Macy Chazan. Very close fight. She outstruck Macy, but it is what it is. But that's what she does. She chips away. She wears on you 4 years off. This style fight, Jermaine, give her a puncher's chance, but I don't like a puncher's chance in this fight. This card was very hard to build slime ball. Remember, I get one card off a year not to give a slime ball. I think we're 0-2 the past 2 weeks after I whispered. We're 4-4. But sliming up Big Norm. I'm sliming her up. I like the number. Trying to keep the slime ball low this week. There's a lot of inflated numbers I don't like. Give me Big Norm. I think she smothers Jermaine. I think Jermaine's going to come in. Fucking something happened outside the door. I don't know, I hope you guys didn't hear that. Jermaine's going to come in, look a little off timing. Striking's all about timing. And I don't know how long she's been training for this 3.5 years either. So give me Big Norm. Slimed her up. Let's move on. Court McKee, plus 240 versus Alex Morono, minus 298. This was almost a lightning strike pick for me. Almost. I don't love either of these guys. I pick against these guys quite frequently. But Court McKee is coming off, I believe, 2 or 3 finish losses. Two knockout losses. Because before that, Court was just notoriously known to be durable. He takes everyone a decision. You can't look good against Court, right? I mean, Sean Brady struggled against Court. Cardio for days. But he's getting a little bit older, right? Getting a little bit older. He'll be 40 this year. 39 years old. Been cracked his last two times out. Jeremiah Wells got him. Matt Brown got him. You enter Alex Morono, who physically doesn't look all that impressive, but he's got a great MMA mind. He's tough to kind of figure out. His striking's herky-jerky. Right. When you take him down, he gets back up quite regularly. That's what Court's going to want to do. I don't think Court has the best takedowns. I think it's the pressure. And I think it's the pressure against the cage that really gets him some wins. I think Morono's too smart for that. I think he's too crafty. And he sneakily has some really good kind of pop shot punches. He's got a little heat behind those punches and he's kind of built. You know, he ain't jacked up. Right. He don't look like a guy that can crack, but he can. He hurts you. And I think he can hurt Court. I don't know if he can finish Court. I have decision written down here. I kind of like decision. It's a wide number at minus 298 on Alex Morono, who's coming off a Joaquin Buckley loss. But before that, he's coming off a submission win over Tim Means, which was a good which is a good win. And then before that, he was beating Santiago Ponzinibbio until he got caught. You know, the chin has been an issue for Morono, but his fight IQ, he's been in there with everybody. I like him in this spot here. Minus 298, it's a bit chunky. But I'm not going to parlay him up or anything like that. I'm probably going to figure out a way to play this. I might play him by knockout since Court's getting older. He's coming off 2 knockouts. I'll see what the numbers are. I got to look at the numbers. I'm a numbers guy. Okay. I got to look at the data, but I'm going Morono. And I don't know if I've ever picked Alex Morono before. I always fucking dog him. There's a tweet out there. Where I said, I gotta remember this guy's a fucking dog. Cause I pick against him all the time. Not disrespecting him this time. Give me Alex Morona. He's a big number, though. Scares me a little bit, but let's ride. All right, next up, fight I'm looking forward to so much. Trevor Peak plus 180 versus Charlie Campbell minus 218. Charlie Campbell's coming up, 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 up. Right off the bat. And it's not Trevor Peak. I'm sliming up Charlie Campbell. I know he's a longo guy. Brian, you pick all longo guys. I know. Charlie Campbell's a slick striker, powerful. And grappling outside the UFC as well, he's getting fixed on that. Trevor Peak is just your typical wild boy, right? Typical wild boy. Fighting out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Guy was born with a goatee, cuts his own hair, and this dude is just a dog in there. But you look at the Chepe fight, right? There was a couple times he wanted to quit so bad in that fight. He didn't. He battled back, lost the decision, but he battled back. Rebounded well against Muhammad Yahya, who doesn't have that dog. Trevor Peak's got a kennel in his chest. Dude's a dog. But when it comes to skills, the skills aren't there yet. The skills aren't paying the bills yet. It's hard to, you know, he's 9-1. It's hard to kind of groom yourself and learn in the UFC, right? He looked good in the contender series. Malik Lewis got a knockout in the second round and then knocked out Eric Gonzalez. Eric Gonzalez, unfortunately, does not have a great chin. What has Malik Lewis done since that loss? He's lost again since that Trevor Peak loss. But, you know, if you look at his fights before that, they're nobodies. 0-0, 0-1, 11-6, 7-0. He's got a good one over David Robbins. He's 7-1-1 now. When's the last time he hasn't fought since 2022? So the record's just not there. And Charlie Campbell, a confident young man, right? Big and long for the division. At a great camp, regardless of my allegiance and my friendship with Longo. I don't know Charlie, but I know Longo has got some fucking studs in that camp, right? Chris Duncan finally contender series. He had that fight won, got a little overzealous, a little overconfident. Chris Duncan's got big power, knocked him out. Goes on, CFC wins by knockout in round one, gets called up to fight Alex Reyes, wins by knockout, cuts a promo like he's the fucking shit. This guy's got confidence because of what he does in the room. When you're in a room with those killers and you haven't done shit in the UFC, there's a reason you're cutting that promo. Now, obviously, he's a confident guy that's just built into his system, but this dude's doing good stuff in the room. He's my mortal lock, right?
He's a mortal lock, and I'm going to wheel him.
I'm going to fucking wheel him. Slime them up, too. So we got a mortal and a slime on Charlie Campbell. People are going to hate that, right? I get it. It's a thin card, but I had to go with my gut instincts. I like Charlie Campbell a lot. The Anakin Florian has not been out yet. This will probably come out before the Anakin Florian, so I won't tell you what Kenny did or anything like that. I won't spoil it, but give me Chuck Campbell, baby. Give me Chucky C, minus 218. Bet's already been placed, by the way, for the slime ball. It's pretty fucking juice. Got a little juice on it. All right, next up, Lucas Dretsky, plus 250 versus Val Walker, who is Johnny Walker's brother. I do not see the resemblance, but here's a guy in Walker. Excuse me, he's a minus 310, by the way, who is an absolute freight train. He has finishes in the fourth round, his last time out, right? He has decision wins, you know, and he's a big, big fucking drink of water. What's his actual, like, statistics? Okay, so he's 6'6", right? And he, what was his last weight? Doesn't say, right? Big shoulders, big dude, stand up horrendous, chin up in the air. If he's anything like Johnny Walker in those jeans, he doesn't have a chin, but he smashes. He smashes, brother. It says he's fighting out of Moscow, Russia, born in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Don't know if he made that tradition to SBG with Johnny. Don't know if they have a close relationship. Anyway, when heavyweights come, he's a bloated favorite at minus 310. I know Lucas Dretsky, this guy kind of stinks, right? But when he came to the UFC as well, he had a little bit of a hot streak, right? And if you look at Lucas Dretsky before the UFC, the guy had a little bit of a body on him. Look at Val Walker here, he's got kind of a body on him. He's got some shoulders for days. He's got traps. He's got no neck. He's going into the fourth round as a heavyweight and winning. You know, those guys come to the UFC, and I know we don't have USADA anymore, but we still got some testing better than what we got elsewhere. So that always pauses me to throw up money on a heavyweight debuting in the UFC. Scares me. Alexander Romanov was an absolute killer outside the UFC. Comes into the UFC. you know, not so much, right? Why is that? Not saying anything, and I could be completely, completely off base with Val Walker here, but I'm scared. I'm picking Val Walker, not touching him in any parlay. I see people parlaying him up, and they're putting a lot of money on him because Jeske has looked so terrible in the UFC. I like Val Walker. I think maybe if we're going to play, we're going to play prop decision or TK or something like that. Jeske's at least been somewhat durable. So we're going Val Walker, though. But, yeah, I just can't load up on him. I just can't do it. All right, next up, the sexiest name in the fucking UFC, Ignacio Bohmandes. Minus 345 versus Chris Josh Yagos. Plus 275. Yagos been around forever. Durable guy. As of late, he's been chin checked. He's been checked a little bit on the chin, and then he's getting submitted. You know, Ignacio, unfortunately to me, let me down a little bit against a little bit Klein. Where was the takedown offense? You got taken down three times, you got dominated. Really didn't get your striking off. You know, he's training with Bilal. He's training with those guys in Chicago. He might be going to Kill Cliff if Bilal's going down there. Not really sure, but that's a great camp with Bilal and those guys. Lewis Taylor heading that up. And I think Bohmandes is a killer on the feet. I think he can chip away at Yagos. Yagos has big power only in his punches. He's going to have to close a hell of a distance on 6'3", Ignacio Bohmandes. And I don't think he's going to do it. Problem is Yagos is good on the ground. Even though he gets submitted, he takes chances. He'll submit you too. He'll take a fucking neck home. And Ignacio hasn't been submitted, at least in the UFC. Has he ever been submitted before? He's 14-5. Has there been a submission loss on that record? Split decision. Yeah, he's been rear naked choked and armbarred. Preston Parsons got him, and Matt McKeon got him by rear naked choke, who's 4-7. Ugh, ugly loss to Ignacio. But you're getting better, right? You're getting better. I like Ignacio here. I like him. I'm going to say finish. Fuck it. Let's quit playing safe and say decision wins. I'm going to go Ignacio Bohmandes by decision. Or I just fucked that up. I'm going to go by some kind of submission or knockout. What am I saying? My brain broke. He does have a Bravo choke. He could land a choke on Chris Yagos. That's something he's probably working on, those long arms. It's there. Yagos wants to wrestle him. However, I do think it's going to be a finish by Ignacio. I will play that. I'm not slamming him up. That's a big number at minus 345. So I'm going to steer clear of that, but I am going to play. I'm going to play Ignacio by anything else besides finish. I'll have to figure that out come Saturday. Sub or knockout or maybe double chance it. We'll see what it is. You know, Yagos is a pretty tough guy. 20-11, been around forever, but as of late, he's been getting chipped up a little bit. So my pick is Ignacio Bohmandes. What a fucking name. All right, next up, Morgan Charrier. Minus 120 versus Chepi Mariscal, plus 102. So I will give you a little bit of a spoiler alert because this is something that it affects his podcast, right? So on the Anakin Florian podcast, I picked Chepe. I originally circled Morgan, and I wanted Morgan. And then I, at last minute, I go, I need another dog here. I kind of got my own head. I went Chepe. The more I looked at it, this is the hardest fight for me to pick. The more I looked at it, the more I went into the thing. Chepe's very durable. He's scrappy, but he's been clipped before. Morgan has been around forever. His striking's so clean. Low volume, but clean. Kicks are clean. Chepe could make this ugly and make me look like a complete idiot. But I just think Morgan is just the cleaner guy in there. It can maybe, you know, he's seen it all. He's been around forever. He's got, you know, 29 fights. This will be his 30th fight. He's fought guys like Chepe before. Chepe has looked really good, especially in the Jack Jenkins fight. He blew up my parlay in that. He could blow it up again. I love plus money, and Chepe's barely plus money right now, but I'm going to go Morgan Charrier. I'm switching my pick officially. So if you listen to this before you listen to the Anakin Florian podcast, I'm sorry. I'm a fraud. I will make the correct adjustments with the public once that gets released, but I'm going Morgan Charrier here, and, you know, slimed him up too. You know, you got to be uncomfortable in this game. You got to be uncomfortable. And I'm uncomfortable with this slime ball parlay. The two slime balls recently, I thought they were fucking slam dunk winners. Dead dog losers. So now, got to be uncomfortable. And I got Norma Dumont, who could get flatlined. I got Charlie Campbell, who's unproven. And he's going against Wild Man Chattanooga, fucking goatee boy, Jerry Peake. And now I got Morgan Charrier, who, again, one fight in the UFC, fighting against a dog in there in Chepe, who's only getting better. Yeah, it makes me nervous. All right, co-main event, if you want to call it that. Alex Hernandez minus 205 versus Damon Jackson plus 170. Oh, battle of the inconsistence, man. Battle of the inconsistence. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to go.
Send him home early.
There's Johnny Anik right there. Send him home early. I'm going to go Alex Hernandez by knockout. Only going to play this by knockout. Damon Jackson, I think, can get this fight to the ground, out cardio Hernandez, and win a fight. Maybe even get a submission. But Damon Jackson has problems with his chin. He gets clipped. And Hernandez, as much as I don't love him, he has power. True explosive power. So he could clip Damon Jackson if he plays it smart. Is he a 45er? Is he a 55er? He's bouncing up and down in weight. I don't like that for this guy's career right now. He's on this weird, inconsistent track. And same as Damon Jackson. But Damon Jackson's been there with some fucking studs. So the smart money, I think, could play Damon Jackson by dog money. I think that's good. After round one, this is a good hedge spot. I think Hernandez might have a good round one, or it's going to be a complete even round one, right? Damon Jackson gets after it, though. He's not a fucking shy dog in there. He goes after you. You know what I mean? He's got good takedowns for a lanky guy. His striking's decent. His willingness to exchange is good. If he had a chin, if he had some durability, and maybe a hairline. That's a shot. That's a shot at old DJ. I think he could be really good, but you know, not every fighter is a complete fighter. I just don't think Damon Jackson's that. So I like Hernandez. He's my send him home. Unless you're John Anik one more time.
Send him home early.
Send him home early. I'm playing that. Again, no, I don't know what that line is. Hernandez by knockout. I'm assuming it's gonna be plus money. At least I hope it is. So no Green Hammer on this one. Green Hammer will come later in the week. I'll make a graphic. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Let me get a drink of water because, man, I'm going to go long on. Good stuff. Main event, Brandon Allen, minus 198, coming down a little bit. He was minus 210 yesterday versus my boy, the action man, Chris Curtis, plus 164. If you don't know, now you know. I've been friends with Chris for a long time. We used to train together, blah, blah, blah. That's it. Still talk to him regularly. Love the guy. Love him. Truly do. So, obviously, I'm biased. Obviously, I'm going action, man.
Hello? Okay, this is Dog.
Hello, this is Dog? Of course I'm dogging him up, right? At plus 164. Chris shines the brightest when there's a chip. Shines the brightest when people doubt him. Chris wants a main event. He got it. But this isn't Chris's real main event. Brandon Allen was supposed to fight Marvin Vettori. Brandon Allen is the A side. Chris is the B side. He's filling in for Vettori. Brandon Allen has, what, two main events in the UFC? This will be his third. Chris has had none, and Chris has a knockout win over Brandon Allen. Not knocking Brandon Allen at all. His own last loss was to Chris, and he's been on an absolute tear. Young kid, really well built for 185 pounds, strong, long, tall, striking coming a long way. It's the little bit of durability I have questioned. He's been put out twice already. Chris got him. Sean Strickland got him. He's been rocked before. He's been waddled before. Confidence is helping with that. His cardio is much improved. Look at the Paul Craig fight. He fought really smart. Took it to the third round. Got a submission over Paul Craig. You know, he's been five rounds before outside the UFC and the LFA. Chris has been five rounds a million times. Five rounds is Chris. I like Chris in five rounds because he's a notoriously slow starter, right? And he gets on himself about that. I got to start fast. You do in three rounds because those rounds go by so quick. In a five-round fight, the way Chris fights, touching the body, very slow, methodical, primarily boxing, but he chips away at you in those five rounds. By four or five, he's putting his cardio up against your cardio, right? And he's saying, I've touched your body this entire fight. I've touched your head this entire fight. I'm ready to go, are you? And a lot of times, majority of the times, the guy's welter fault, he gets a late stoppage. Kind of see how this is where this is going. I'm biased, I know. I put out a very jokey, hokey tweet today about how everyone's picking Chris or whatever. Some people got it, some people didn't. Guys, check the sarcasm, right? You know what I mean? Kind of read the room. I'm nervous, though, because this is a different Brandon Allen. This isn't the same Brandon Allen that fought Chris. He was a young guy back then, still very young, but he's at Killcliff full-time, I believe. I know he lives in Louisiana still, but I believe he's at Killcliff full-time. He was training for Vettori, which is a southpaw as well, which is what Chris is. Vettori's a bigger southpaw, so the switch up of opponents isn't too much. I know Brandon's wanted this fight back for a long time. Last loss, you know, it's an ugly loss on his record with a knockout. I get it. Since that fight, Chris has had some up and downs, and Brandon's just won, right? And Brandon's sixth ranked. Chris is what, 14th ranked, 11th ranked? Not really sure. 13th ranked is what it says. So he wants this one. Brandon Allen wants this one, and Chris wants this one because he wants to be the main event. And there's that fucking chip. I knocked this dude out already, and I'm the underdog. I knocked this dude out. I knocked Phil Halls out, right? I had a fight of the night with Joaquin Buckley, knocked him out. And I've never got an Apex main event. I never got any Fight Night main event. And Brandon Allen's had two, a guy I've already beat. That's a chip. Now he's filling in on short notice again, where he's the B side, Brandon Allen's the A side. That's a chip. They're friendly on Twitter. They both want to rock purple shorts. I think Brandon Allen's getting purple shorts. That's a chip. Chris is a competitive, competitive guy. I know people in the MMA sphere, the Twitter sphere, they think that he's a crybaby. They think he's this. They think he's that. They only judge him by a weak moment in this man's life. I can assure you he's none of those things. He's a dog when it comes to being a dog. Out of 41 fights, he's been finished twice. Once by knockout by Ray Cooper in the PFL. He got caught. He retired 15 minutes before the fight, was literally tying his shorts, walking to the cage. And then Tom Galicchio years ago, rear naked choke. Brandon Allen's got a great rear naked choke. There ain't no denying it. I think Brandon Allen's going to struggle getting Chris down. I think Brandon Allen's takedowns are pretty good. They're getting better. Don't think they're elite. His body lock is what he's going to want to do. I don't know if he's really going to get any shots on Chris's legs. Chris's takedown defense has improved greatly since his pre-UFC days, where that was kind of the MO to beat him, is you just take him down. The only guy to take him down in the UFC was Imanov. And Chris got his hand caught in his shorts, and that was round one, and then the fight ended with the headbutt or whatever the fuck happened. So Brandon Allen, I don't think, should hunt for takedowns. I think he should use his length. I think he should do what Jack Hermansa did, throw a lot of high kicks at the shorter opponent, throw a lot of high kicks and kicks in general against a guy who's primarily boxing. Brandon Allen's a path to victory here for sure. I'm not doubting that. Obviously, I'm going with Chris. I'm close to Chris. But I think Chris has a path to victory here, too. He's got that mental edge over Brandon Allen. I won by knockout. I slept you on short notice in the UFC. I've done that, right? I outstruck you in the first round, and I knocked you out in the second because you wanted to exchange hands with me. You exchange hands with Chris again, you're going to get put to sleep because, again, Chris is incredibly durable, and he wants this one. He's gone radio silent on social media. I haven't talked to him much this week. He's dialed in. He's doing a ton of road work. He looks at me in phenomenal shape. I'm hoping there's no lingering injuries, but every fighter's got something going on. But I like Chris in the spot. I could go on and on and on forever. People don't want to hear that because I'm close with them, but I do like Chris in the spot. I'm putting money up. Dog lock. You know, well, last time Chris was a dog money, I think it might have been even money against Buckley. Won like a G on him. So, I don't know if I'm going to do quite that, but I am going to put a hefty amount on Chris. And then Chris by KO as well. Chris by KO. Don't know what that prop is. Going to be an interesting prop. I'll play that prop as well. All right, so that's it. That's the fight. 38 minutes. We're doing all right. Huh? We're doing all right. Do you want me to spend another like 20 minutes just talking about life? You know, my dreams, my goals, my aspirations. Fucking people always get so mad about that. All right, so let me recap. Dog lock, Chris Curtis, of course. Send him home, Alex Hernandez. Mortal lock, Charlie Campbell. We went last week, two or three in the locks. We missed the send him home on Bruno Silva, Chris Weidman. I know there was a double eye poke, but fuck Bruno Silva. You know what I mean? I should make a video about that. I should do that more. More YouTube or Instagram, just a quick reaction video. I really wanted to actually, completely off topic, but I really want to watch this card and film myself watching this card because it's kind of early in the day, but I think my wife works all day, so I can't do that. Dog lock Chris, send him home Alex, mortal lock Charlie. Green Hammer coming later this week. Sorry, it's early. Don't have props, but slime ball parlay. You already know it. Charlie Campbell, Norm, big Norm, Norma Dumont, and Morgan Charrier plus 316. Whoa, hey, yeah, slime forever, baby. 316? Austin 316? Huh? Let's go. I know this is the card. It's at the Apex. It's 4-4 UFC 300. No one cares about it, but there's spots. There should be some good fights. And my guy Chris is fighting. So that's it. Brian Petrie MMA on all social media. Hit that fucking subscribe button. We're chugging. We're chugging the fucking, we're getting there. Slow motion, but we're getting there to 2000. I love every single one of you. Shout out all of you guys. You are the best. And that's it. That's the show, man. That's the show, man. All right. I'll see ya.
I told that they were 6'3". And Yachty was like blown away. Big Gun Brian Petrie. Big Gun Brian Petrie. Some might refer to him as Big Gun Brian Petrie. Chief Handicapper or Chief MMA Handicapper. Host of the MMA Takes podcast. I'm here to see Brian. Big Gun. Yeah. Petrie got comedy dripping.
Here's Brian Petrie bringing the shoe.
I had a little dripping.